Our goal for the Browns is to win and sustain winning over time.
Under.
This is what it's about.
Hey Dog Pound, I'm Nathan Zagura, joined as always by Sarah Carnes here with the final episode of our first season of Inside the Cleveland Browns.
I can't believe this is it. I have to say, I've had such a great time following the team with you this season.
It certainly has been a blast, Sarah. And now that the 2014 season is officially in the books, we can turn the page and look ahead to our matchups in the 2015 season. At First Energy Stadium, the Browns will host, of course, the three teams from the AFC North, Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh. From the AFC West, we will host Denver and Oakland, and from the NFC West, Arizona and San Francisco. And our one matchup with the AFC South will host the Tennessee Titans.
And when the Browns head on the road, they'll play the three AFC North teams, Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh, and AFC West teams, Kansas City, San Diego, NFC West teams St. Louis and Seattle, and the New York Jets.
No doubt this looks like a tough schedule on paper with some high-profile teams in 2015. Six of them made the playoffs. Seven of them had top 10 defenses that season, so there's going to be a lot of work to do before next fall. Speaking of work, I recently sat down with General Manager Ray Farmer, the man who was in charge of improving the Browns roster this offseason, to talk about his first year as a GM in the NFL. First year as a GM in the NFL, how'd it go?
It was good. I think that there's a lot to be learned. There's a lot to be gained. You know, when you walk into a situation and you know you're prepared for it, but then you start to figure out there are some nuances to actually running the ship and doing it right.
What do you think your biggest success was in your first year?
Being collaborative. I'm a stubborn guy by nature. And so the more people I involved, the more quality of decisions I was able to make. So I think opening my mind up to doing things a little bit differently than I had initially planned benefited us and the Browns in a big way.
How do you feel about the talent of this roster 1-53 after your first year as GM prior to the team that you inherited?
I feel good. I think that we took a lot of steps. We still have a young team. I think we're starting to improve the chemistry and the foundations of what Play Like a Brown and that accountability looks like. So I think we're moving in the right direction for the guys that are here, the depth that we're building, and the future of this franchise.
Talk about wanting to change the culture at the beginning of the year. You brought in guys like Dante Whitner, who you just mentioned, Carlos Dansby as well. How do you feel that culture change went and what needs to continue along that so this can be a winning culture?
I think we got to continue to just build on what we've started. We started to lay the foundation, and is it perfect? I'd say no. We've still got to sand some edges. There's still some things to clean up, but I do think we're well on our way to establishing what we want here, which is the right kind of culture. To take the next steps, in my mind, I think that really hinges on us continuing to stay true to what we know, which is taking guys that are tough, taking guys that are going to be consistent, and taking guys that love football.
Where do you feel the best about this roster? What position groups do you say you feel the best about it, and where do you see the biggest challenges?
I would tell you that in totality, I don't feel good about any of them. As a scout, my natural inclination is that everybody can be improved and everything can be upgraded. There's no reality in that, but I think it's the world that I live in. To that degree, I would tell you that it's really about that same premise of just focusing on competition. I feel good that we got a good nucleus of offensive linemen right now. How do we expand upon that and, you know, drive competition to where we force guys that are currently starters to fight for their spots as well as improve our depth? I feel good about our secondary. I think we've got good young players that have talent and upside. I also think that there's a group of veterans and there's a good mixture of young guys to grow that group and sustain it long term. And I feel good about our linebackers with that same premise that we have old, young, and in between that give us a chance to have success today, tomorrow, and building towards the culture that we want.
What was the biggest surprise in your first year as a GM in the NFL?
I don't know. I mean, there's not a – work is one thing, but it was weird, but it's, you become obsessive when you're a GM. Like, there's no time to rest or think or get away from it. You know, even when you sleep, I feel like I'm thinking about either the draft or, well, who was that kid I just watched on the street? Or, man, should we upgrade this guy? Or should we try to poach this kid from practice squad? Did I call that agent? I mean, there's 45 million things to think about. And so it becomes almost an obsession of how your mind is always focused on the job. And, I mean, I love football. I've been doing it my entire life. even more so now, I think my addiction has gotten worse.
There's no doubt about it. Mr. Ray Farmer is truly a football guy. And trust me when I tell you, he will do everything in his power to make sure this team is on the right track. Don't go away. We've got more ICB coming right at you.
When we come back, Ray Farmer tells us more about his plan for 2015.
There's ways to improve this football team.
Get a first look at more changes to First Energy Stadium and hear from players on some of the biggest moments of 2014.
Well, this moment is one of the first times I actually ran out of the tunnel.
Welcome back to ICB. Going into the 2015 offseason, the Browns have 10 picks in the draft and the salary cap space to be flexible in free agency. Nathan sat down to talk to Ray Farmer about how he plans to use that to form a winning team.
When you look at the totality of the additions to this roster, veterans, the draft, you had some very quality pieces there, some undrafted free agents who came and made significant contributions. Are you happy, and does that kind of give you, you know, going into it, you never know. You know you believe in yourself, but
true.
Does that give you some validation coming into it that, you know, coming into the second year that, hey, I know talent, I've done a good job adding, and now we have another opportunity with two more first-round picks to add some more significant talent to this team?
No. I would say that I'm really focused on improving and identifying my shortcomings of what did I mess up, how did I mess that up, and how can I fix it. Being excited about the things that I think I'm good at never has benefited me. It's always benefited me when I've found a way to unearth what I've done wrong and improve in that direction. So probably a little more self-critical than I need to be, but there's ways to improve this football team that I didn't get accomplished, and I'm more focused on correcting those mistakes that I am exacerbating the positives that I've had.
Short and long term. Has that been one of the challenges as well, balancing the need to win in the short term, but also to build a franchise that can have that sustained winning in the long term?
I think that's always the critical point for the general manager, is balancing the now and the future. There's a delicate balance there, and you got to win games today, but you can't lose sight of what happens tomorrow. Our goal for the Browns is to win and sustain winning over time. Would it be great for us to have success this year, make the playoffs, and spend a bunch of cash and put all our resources into this year? Sure, feel good in the moment. But if next year we crashed and had a collapsible setback and things weren't what they should be, we'd feel bad about that instance. So it's more about the balance of the two than it is any one outweighing the other.
All right, so going in the offseason, two first-round picks again, a lot of money under the salary cap. What's the one thing that you want all the people who love the Cleveland Browns out there to know about how you intend to approach this offseason and improve this team, given those assets at your disposal?
We will be creative. We will think outside the box. We will leave no stone unturned. And we will make a concerted effort to make sure that we improve the Cleveland Browns to move this franchise forward. So we have resources. We have an owner that's willing. We have a head coach that's not afraid, and we have a GM that's going to move us forward with the people that are available for us to acquire.
Now, the offseason work has already begun for Ray Farmer and his team with the Senior Bowl and the NFL Combine right around the corner. And you can follow all of the action at ClevelandBrowns.com, where we will have videos and articles to bring you all the latest news on the road to the draft.
Well, the atmosphere at First Energy Stadium was electric this season, especially with all the changes and upgrades. Well, we sat down with team president Alex Shiner to take a sneak peek at even more changes for 2015.
I thought phase one had a profound impact on our home field advantage. I think our players noticed it. I think our coaches noticed it.
And First Energy Stadium is roaring.
The main objectives of phase one were to enhance the fan experience. And the most visible things, the most obvious things in phase one were the big video boards, our audio system, the escalators. I thought it was a much louder stadium. We filled in some of the lower bowl, and you could just hear a louder stadium. And we got great feedback from our fans, but that's expected because our fans told us what we needed to do. We always had two goals in mind, and I always tell people it's like a house. Phase one was the exterior of the house. Phase two is the interior of the house. And what we're going to do in phase two is take all the interior space and update it. All of our club space, all of our suites, all of our general concessions. So we will have areas on the south side of the stadium, on the first level, and the north side of the stadium that are these premium areas that will have really different looks and feels. That'd be really cool. On the north side, I think it'll be kind of rugged, like Ohio City. On the south side, facing the city, it'll be even a little more elegant. We feel really good about those concepts. Some of the underrated aspects of any renovation are kind of what we call wayfinding and then graphic packages. And so we hope there'll be a really updated, cleaner look and feel to the entire stadium, including the exterior of the stadium. So we'll have some really cool graphics on the outside of the stadium you can see as you drive by. But then inside, it'll be much easier to get around, much easier to find your way, and a much nicer look and feel from that bowl area. So when you talk about what comes next, now we just have to keep investing every year to keep the fan experience up. We just had to invest heavily for these 2 years because we were so far behind. This renovation would not be possible without Jimmy. You have to have an owner who's willing to invest in the fan experience. So the way this worked in this case was Jimmy fronts about $125 million. We did negotiate a deal with the city where over time they would provide $30 million to satisfy their lease obligations. But once again, without Jimmy's investment in this, it couldn't happen, and it probably would have taken between 5 and 10 years just to get it going.
When ICB returns, Joe Hayden gives us his bucket list, and we get on the field with Paul Kruger.
Hey, if you think of turnover.
We got what it takes. Trust the guy next to you. Lay it on the line for him. We're going to come out with this win.
Play clock. That can't happen, guys. That can't happen.
Smoke!
Let's go now. This is our chance now. Go up 2 scores.
These boys ain't gonna lay down. We gotta make them lay down.
Let's go. Where are we headed? Get there. Let's go, Crawl. We don't walk.
Close right! Laser!
Come on, baby!
Allen underneath center. He's looking for DeAndre Hopkins. He's up in the end zone, and it is intercepted in the end zone by Joe Hayden! What a play by Hayden!
Yeah, buddy!
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now that is one of my favorite video features. Hearing what the guys are actually saying on the field, it really brings you into the action.
Well, Sarah, you are in luck because during the home finale against the Cincinnati Bengals, we mic'd up Paul Kruger and then sat down to talk to him about this season.
Hey, they're gonna run the ball! Under! Hey, let's have some fun, man. We're playing too stiff, man.
Play it loose, baby.
Let's play it loose, bro. Hey, they want to take a shot. They want to take a shot to AJ. I guarantee it. Hey, if you take a turnover.
It was a big year for me. I feel like I definitely have some progress to make. The plays I did have and the numbers, things like that, those are important. Those are big and they mean a lot to me. It just kind of, for me, that kind of set the mark of what I can do each year. And I just think, now I need to really turn it on. And I think, there's so many plays I wish I could have had back. Or, I look at all the, even just sacks as far as those go. I had a couple taken away, a couple I should have had. For me, I think there's a lot more I can do. So I look forward to this offseason, working hard, getting better, and coming back 2015 a new man. Goals for next season. I would say to just as far as everything from stat numbers to leadership role, defensive standing, all those things. I just want to progress. I want to be better than we were this year, and that's for myself and individually for the defense. I think that's really what I have in mind is just. Being a better player than I was this year, being more consistent, and being a leader for guys. And then as a team, I think the goal is to make the playoffs and to win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's always the goal. I mean, in my mind, there's no other reason to play. I mean, I've been a winner. I've been on winning teams, been a winner my whole life, and so that's what we're going to build here. And I know the coaching staff, players all feel the same way. So we're dedicated to making that happen. So next year, make the playoffs and win the Super Bowl.
Let's go, baby!
Now, it was quite the season for Paul Kruger, whose 11 sacks were a career high. And that was good enough to get him the second most fan votes for the Pro Bowl at linebacker.
Now, Joe Haden, for the second straight year, is heading to the Pro Bowl. And we sat down with Joe in our Browns Blitz hot seat.
Favorite place to go in Cleveland is First Energy Stadium. The funniest player on the team is by far Dante Whitner. The number one thing on my bucket list is to play horse against LeBron.
Nice take by James. Oh, he stops! LeBron James puts it down in the face of James Johnson.
Best concert I ever went to was Alicia Keys' concert where I met my wife. That was love. My first car was a Dodge Intrepid, green. If there was a movie about my life, I would be played by Denzel. I couldn't even take myself seriously.
Hayden versus LeBron in a game of pig? I'd pay to see that.
No doubt about it. Now, Joe's got some nice sneakers, but he's got some serious skills on the hardwood as well. So don't you move, because we'll be right back with more ICB. When we come back, the players tell us about big moments from 2014.
This was awesome. This is probably my favorite part of the year.
Welcome back to ICB. Now, the 2014 season was full of amazing moments on and off the field. We showed some players a photo to get their reaction on what was happening in that exact moment.
Ooh. Now, this one, this play, man, I was thinking, like, finally, I'm able to show people how high I can jump. I undercutted the route, he threw it, and then I got my feet under me. Like, this was this is probably top three plays I've ever had in my career playing football. I mean, I felt good. As soon as I jumped up, I was like, oh my God, I'm about to get this, I know it. And then after I caught it, I just make sure I just held on to it when I hit the ground. When I see this picture, it makes me so happy. I was just smiling, looking at it, because it's like Julio Jones, one of the best receivers in the league, for sure. You know, and he's a beast. And we were over there, me and him, man to man, and I'm in zero coverage on this play with no safety help, no nothing. It's just, Joe, you got Julio. Nobody else is over there. And just being able to make this play, you know, this is what it's about.
Oh, this is awesome. This was awesome. This is probably my favorite part of the year. Just the environment, the kids, they were so happy, man. They worked so hard and they deserved it. You know, to be able to do stuff like this is, I think, what it's really all about. Well, I think that's the biggest thing, man. You know, my son, you know, he's two, and like any two-year-old, he looks up to his dad. And, you know, things like this are important to me, that he sees that it's not about, you know, you or anything, like as much stuff as you can, you know, accumulate. It's about helping other people. And, you know, if I could pass that along to him, man, then I feel like I've done a good job.
What I'm looking at is the sack I had on Drew Brees. It was a big play, first of all, for the team. Those plays are always confidence boosters for you. And as you can see, I beat Billy by a step. Every step matters, or else that would have been a half a sack instead of a full. I remember hitting him and then getting up and feeling the energy from the crowd. And just that electric feeling you get is just unlike anything you can experience anywhere else. And so it gives you all that much more desire to do it again and again.
That moment for me is always really special because it's kind of the pinch me moment. It's the moment when you stand there and you look up and you look at this giant hundreds of million dollar stadium that was built for the sole purpose of men playing a kid's game. You sit there and you look at all these people that are cheering for you, and it's the pinch me moment that you say, this is what I've dreamed of since I was a little kid. Don't let me take this for granted.
Yeah, well, this moment is one of the first times I actually ran out of the tunnel. And to understand that I came from Cleveland, I'm a Cleveland kid, and that's why I do this. And kiss the ground every time I come out is because, you know, this is where I was born and raised, and this is where I'm going to always be. And my heart is always going to be here in Cleveland. So that's what this means.
Now, that had to be one of the most exciting times of the year, seeing Dante come out of the tunnel to his hometown. I still get goosebumps when I think about it.
It's Goosebump City, no doubt about it. Now, thank you for joining us all season long on Inside the Cleveland Browns. We hope you've enjoyed it as much as we did. Now, be sure to visit ClevelandBrowns.com for up-to-date news, exclusive features, and much, much more. For Sarah Carnes, I'm Nathan Zagura, and we will leave you with a look at our favorite sights of the 2014 season. Thanks for being with us, and good night, everybody.